Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We have to thank Ewald for finding just the perfect slide for today's sermon. Isn't that a beautiful face? Would you read together with me the title of this morning's sermon? A Dog in Heaven. Based on Revelation chapter 7, listen to these verses. After these things, I looked and behold a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes, palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God, who sits upon the throne, and to Jesus the Lamb. There's no outline for your sermon today, as you're used to. Our sermon eventually will turn into a story sermon. Have you ever had a wonderful dream? A dream so wonderful that you never wanted it to end. A dream so clear, so explicit, so colorful that it was beyond imagination. Well, one day, St. John the Apostle had something better than a dream. God granted John a heavenly vision, a glorious vision of heaven. And you heard how he just described it. A great multitude, people from every nation, every tribe, every language, more people than he could number, standing before the throne of God, praising God for the salvation because of Jesus the Lamb. What a vision of heaven. What did John see? Who was there? He saw more people than he could ever count. He saw people from every tribe, every nation, every language group on earth. All these people, forgiven sinners who had put their faith in Jesus, clothed with robes of righteousness, were celebrating and thanking God for the gift of salvation, all because of Jesus, the Lamb of God, who took away the sins of the world. What a vision of heaven. And how did these people get there? John tells us in Revelation 7, he says, quote, salvation belongs to our God and to the Lamb. That is, salvation is a gift of God to people through the sacrifice of Jesus, the Lamb of God. And the people will be in heaven, and you will be in heaven because someone took time to proclaim to you the faithfulness and mercy of God in Jesus Christ our Lord. What a vision of heaven. And none of the people there who are in the great multitude will be there because of their own good deeds or their own good lives. Paul tells us in Ephesians 2 these words. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Not of yourselves, not by works. It's the gift of God. So no one can boast. What a vision of heaven. Now today, to help us better appreciate this vision of heaven, and of how when we get there, it's simply by God's grace and mercy to us sinners, would you read together once more with me the title of today's sermon and look at the picture? A Dog in Heaven. Take your seat with me, won't you, in Hawk Auditorium in Lawrence, Kansas, and behold the Leipzig Orchestra, the oldest continually operating orchestra in the world. The greatest conductors and composers of all history have led this orchestra. This orchestra was playing in the days of Beethoven. You watch. Can you see them? As stately dressed Europeans take their place on the stage. You listen as the professional musicians start tuning their instruments. You watch as the percussionist put her ear to the percussion drum. The violinist plucks his strings. You sit a little straighter in your seats as the lights are lowered. And you know the orchestra is about ready to begin. The conductor, dressed in lawn tuxedo tails, jumps onto the stage, pounces onto his podium, and motions for the orchestra to rise. You and 2,000 other people at Hawk Auditorium in Lawrence, Kansas that night applaud. The musicians take their seats. The conductor lifts his baton, and the audience holds their breath. Now, I've been told that there's 1 second between lightning and thunder. And there's also a second of silence between the raising of the conductor's baton and the explosion of music. And now the world famous Beethoven's Third Symphony begins. Bum, 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 bum. Bum, 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 bum. Such was the power of that night in Lawrence, Kansas. Such was the power of that hot, humid, did I say hot and humid night in Lawrence, Kansas? Now, I mentioned the weather, so you'll understand why 2 doors were left open in the auditorium. It was hot. Hawk Auditorium, a historic building at that point, was not air-conditioned. Now, you combine bright stage lights with formal dress and fast-paced music, and the result is an overheated orchestra. So the outside doors on stage left and the outside door on stage right were left open so a cross breeze would come through to cool off the musicians. But enter stage right, a dog, a brown Kansas dog. Not a mean dog, not a mad dog, just a curious dog. He passes between the basses and makes his way between the violins and the cellos. His tail is wagging with the music. As he passes by the players in the orchestra, they look at him. They look at each other, but they keep playing. But then the dog stops and takes a liking to a certain cello. Perhaps it was the passing of the bow. Maybe it was because of the eye-level view of the strings. Whatever it was, it caught the dog's attention, and he stopped and he watched. Now, the stately cellist didn't know what to do. He never played for a one-dog audience before. Music schools don't teach you what could happen to a priceless 16th century cello if the dog slobbers on it. But the dog did nothing but watch the cello for a moment and then moved on. Now, had he passed through the orchestra and gone out the door, the music might have continued. Had he made his way across the stage into the beckoning hands of a stagehand, it might have been okay. And the audience maybe would have never noticed. But he did not leave. He stayed at home in the splendor, wandering through the meadows of the music. He visited the violins. He turned his head to the trumpets. Finally, he stopped right by the side of the conductor. And Beethoven's Third Symphony came undone. The musicians stopped and they laughed. And the audience laughed. And the dog looked up at the composer and the conductor and just panted. And the conductor lowered his baton. The most historic orchestra in the world. One of the most famous pieces of music ever written. A night wrapped in glory, all brought to a stop by a wayward brown Kansas dog. The laughter and chuckle stopped as the conductor turned to the dog. What fury might erupt? The audience grew silent as the conductor turned to face them. The polished, proper German conductor looked at the crowd, looked at the dog, looked back at the crowd, and then raised his hands with a universal gesture and shrugged. Everybody roared in the auditorium. The conductor stepped off his podium and scratched the brown Kansas dog behind his ears. The tail wagged again. Now, the conductor surely spoke to the dog auf Deutsch. He spoke to the dog in German, but the dog seemed to understand. They visited for a few moments before the conductor gently took his newfound friend by the collar and led him gently off stage. You would have thought the dog was a superstar by the way the audience broke into applause. The conductor returned, lifted up his baton, and Beethoven's Third Symphony began again, none the worse for the whole experience. Now, can you find me and can you find you in this story? I can. Just call us Fido the dog. Consider God the orchestra conductor. Envision the moment when you and I will walk upon his stage in heaven. Just like that dog, we will have no right to be on God's stage. We will not deserve to be on God's stage. We will not have earned the right to be on God's stage. We know that we should not be on God's stage because of our sin-filled lives. But what will we do? We will walk next to God, stand by His side, and worship. He too, like the conductor, will stop what he's doing and personally welcome us. But he will not lead us away. He will invite us to remain forever guests on his stage. All because of Jesus, the Lamb who paid for our sins. We can hardly believe it. We, and according to St. John, quote, that great multitude which no one could number, of all nations and tribes and people and tongues standing before the throne, we will be there because someone proclaimed to us the love and faithfulness of God in our Savior Jesus, the Lamb who was slain for our sins. Today, as we realize that no one deserves these gifts of God. You don't deserve the forgiveness and love of God. I don't deserve it. You don't deserve to be in heaven, neither do we. But we cannot help but be thankful and then, in our turn, proclaim God's love and faithfulness to others. My friends, that's the very reason the church exists. If we lose sight of this purpose as a Christian congregation, to keep proclaiming the faithfulness and love of God, of Jesus Christ, to the world around us, if we fail to do that, it's time to lock the doors, sell the church building for another development in Richmond, and make a lot of money and go out of business. But the reason God has called us here is to keep proclaiming and to keep proclaiming, so that John's vision will be true, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, stand before the throne and look around you in this congregation. Look around you at the people sitting around you. Tribes, nations, tongues, colors, backgrounds from all over the world. The vision of John is coming true in our midst. And we will be there on God's stage. And God, the heavenly conductor, will reach down and scratch us behind the ears and welcome us home. Not because we deserved it, but because of His mercy for sinners like you and me. Why should we continue proclaiming God's faithfulness in our generation? So that more and more people will one day stand by God's side in heaven. So that John's vision and revelation would become a reality. Listen to his vision one more time. John says, "After these things I looked, and behold, a multitude that no one could number, of all nations, all tribes, all peoples, all tongues, standing before the throne, before Jesus the Lamb, clothed in white robes, with palm branches in their hands, crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" Amen. 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 Or should we say, bow wow. In the name of Jesus. Amen.